inside and shoot.
Uh-huh. Okay, let us begin. Are you going to have the cord?
Okay, so I missed.
Okay, so today is our last cheer.
No one signed up for this one.
And the requested topic was a discussion of Yemos HaMashiach. Just a reminder, next week at this time, Be'ezus Hashem is the Bechina, and the makeup date for the Bechina is on June 12th at 2:45. And I guess if you can't make either of those, let me know. But if you can make, but otherwise you don't have to tell me, just show up to one of them. So we're going to begin with observing that oftentimes there are two aspects that are related, but really two separate sugyos. One is Yemos HaMashiach, and one is Olam Haba. Yemos HaMashiach is a this-worldly experience. We will see in a moment, it's discussed explicitly in Tanakh. Olam Haba is a non-this-worldly, an otherworldly experience. And that's true on a fundamental level, meaning to say, even if you take the approach of the Ramban and the Mechubalim, that Olam Haba will take place after Tchias HaMesim and will have some type of physical guf in Olam Haba, fundamentally everybody agrees Olam Haba is something beyond our ability to understand now as we have physical bodies and live in a material world. As the Gemara says, Kol neviim lo nisnavu el limos HaMashiach, aval olam harba ayin lo raz elokim zu asecha. When it comes to Yemos HaMashiach, so that the prophets discuss, and they discuss it because it's something we could relate to, it's something we could understand, it's something we could perceive, though surely it's going to be very different than our current existence, but it's still something that's shayach to us. Whereas Olam Haba, which is the place of gemul, the place of reward, is something that's totally not shayach to us. It's something that the prophets don't discuss. It's something that we can't really perceive or understand. It's also something that's not discussed explicitly in Tanakh, which is an interesting question, though not for today, why that is. One reason for that is something that is because we can't understand it. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam understands Olam Haba as a totally spiritual existence. There's no physical body. Olam Haba exists now. It's not something that's going to be created in the world when somebody dies. Kol Yisrael Yesham Chel Olam Haba. Their neshama exists in Olam Haba. Probably the more predominant view is that Olam Haba is not existent now. Now, if a tzaddik, now when a person dies, their neshama goes to the Olam HaNeshamos, Gan Eden or Gehenim. After Yemos HaMashiach, there'll be ultimately the Yom HaDin HaGadol VaNora, Tchias HaMesim, and that will usher in Olam Haba, and it's a spiritual existence, a spiritual existence even with a physical body. So today's topic isn't Olam Haba. We're not going to talk about Olam Haba. We're going to talk about Yemos HaMashiach. I didn't really want to talk about Yemos HaMashiach because I wrote about it in my Sefer, and it's boring to talk about things that you wrote about already. But since a bunch of people asked, so I'm going to do it, but I'm happy that I did because I want to make a correction from the Sefer, something that I missed. So that's it? You get a refund? So at least you'll see there's still some more sheets up here. A correction, something that I missed the first time around. So as we mentioned before, Yemos HaMashiach is something that's described in the Torah. The Rambam and Chazal tell us that in Bilam's prophecy referred to the Melech HaMashiach, Derech Kochav Miyakov, but it's most explicitly talked about in Parshas Nitzavim, the first source you have over here, Vayak Yavo Elacha, so we're going to be in Galus, spread throughout the world, and we're going to do tshuva. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo k'chol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom ato v'anecha b'chol vavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. V'shav Hashem Elokecha shvuzcha v'richamecha. So here we have a description of our doing tshuva first and then Hashem returning to us. The exact role of tshuva in the unfolding of the Messianic era is one that's complex, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about it a little bit. The Ramban notes two different orderings of the events, one in Parshas Nitzavim, one in Parshas Hazinu. And if we have a chance, we'll talk more about that. But we will return to Hashem. Hashem will return to us and have compassion upon us. And there'll be kibbutz galios. Doesn't matter how far you are from there, God will take you back. He'll bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. And things will be greater than they ever were beforehand. This is a pasuk that we'll have a chance to discuss more. What exactly is being referred to here with the circumcision of our hearts? But it sounds like Hashem will change us in such a way that we will now love Him with all our hearts and all our souls. V'nasan Hashem Elokechas kol alos ha'ela al oivecha ve'al sonecha asher redafucha. So this paragraph doesn't really discuss Mashiach as a person. Mashiach as a descendant of David is something that's not explicit, perhaps alluded to in Torah, but described in greater detail in the Nevi'im. But the concept of the Messianic era, of Kibbutz Galios, of our returning to Eretz Yisrael and living in Eretz Yisrael in a greater state, in a state of love and fear of Hashem, is something that is quite clear in the Psukim, as we just read. The importance of the belief in Mashiach is something that can't be understated. The Rambam writes in his Ikari Emunah, the next source, that the 12th principle is belief in Yemos HaMashiach. And it's worthwhile noting that he says something here that's quite startling and even more explicit in the Mishnah Torah. Vayisod ha-shneimasar yemos ha-mashiach v'hu l'hamin ul'amei sheyavou v'en lomar shenis acher im yismamech ha-kelo. To believe in the coming of Mashiach, and even when he tarries, to know that he's coming and to long for him, to wait for him. Ulamin bo minagdula v'ahava ulispala levo'o be'atem l'mashinamar bo al-yidei kol navim imoshe v'ad malachi. To await the coming of Mashiach, to pray for the coming of Mashiach, is described by all the prophets from the first to the last. Umishin istapik bo ozilzel b'inyano harei ze makhish asatora she'tiv and Ve'atem Nitzavim. If we look at the next source, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, he adds something that's particularly shocking. So the Rambam here is saying that someone who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach, but also someone who isn't mitzapeh liYeshua. We all know that one of the questions a person is asked upon death is Tzipisali Yeshua, one of the six questions. The truth is that the fact that that's included in that list is a strong indication that this is something that's not so easy. Just like Nasata V'Nasasa V'Emuna, or Tilpalta B'Chachma, or Kavati Utin LaTorah. Tzipisali Yeshua is not something that's necessarily easy, but something that's fundamental, something that every Jew's asked. Bachar may have asked him. And the Rambam writes here that someone who believes in Mashiach but isn't mitzapeh liYeshua, someone who is not mechakeh lebiyaso, he says, you know, I believe in it, but Baruch Hashem, I'm happy, comfortable, everything's going great. I have a nice house, a nice family, a nice job. It, you know, what do I need Mashiach for? So that too is kfira. In other words, as opposed to really for the other 12 of the 13 Yikari Emuna, where the Rambam simply states that belief is enough. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah in his Haktamat Perach Chelek emphasizes that we have to be Mitzapel Yeshua, and that you're a kofer if you're not Mitzapel Yeshua. Now, why is that? Why isn't it enough to believe? What's so bad about not believing? In a sense, it's obvious that the Jew who lived in a period of persecution and the like will surely have longed for Mashiach. But nowadays, let's imagine a person doesn't believe in Mashiach. So what's so bad about that? There's a lot that we need to know to answer that question. I'd like to begin, though, by emphasizing one point, which is a large point about Yemos HaMashiach. It's one that's emphasized in the prophets, especially in the book of Yechezkel, but also in Parshas Hazinu and elsewhere, which is that we live in a state of incredible Chilul Hashem. We live in a state where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trampled upon and denied, where a person can look at the world and deny God's existence, a world in which evil frequently triumphs over good, in which the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. And if a person isn't Mitzapel Yeshua, they say, look, you know, I'm comfortable. Things are good. So it's okay the way things are. Even though it's a world of incredible Chilul Hashem. So then something very, very terrible is going on. Yemos HaMashiach is not just about an end to persecution and anti-Semitism. It's not just a time where we'll have the opportunity to learn Torah and do mitzvos without distraction. It's not just a time of umala haaretz deas Hashem k'mayim liyam hachasim, though it is all those things, and I don't wish to minimize those things. But it's also a time, as we'll see shortly in the words of the prophets, where the tremendous Chilul Hashem that exists now will finally come to an end. It will be a time of universal recognition of God's existence, where the entire world will join together in being Oved Hashem. And in a sense, that's even more important for us to remember than that it will be a time of peace and prosperity. And that being the case, so for someone to say, well, I'm comfortable, so that's good enough, and not be Mitzapel Yeshua, so there's something that's terribly wrong about their values. So how do we know when Mashiach has come? How do we know who the Melech HaMashiach is? The Rambam in Melachim Perek Yud Aleph sets out clear-cut guidelines. But perhaps even before then, it's worthwhile looking at the Psukim. For those of you who read the Haftarah on Yom HaTzma'ut, you'll remember these, and if not, so then there's always Shmini Shel Pesach. The Psukim, in many places, describe the nature of the Melech HaMashiach. I'm going to read from the book of Yeshayahu. I see that I neglected to put this source on your sheets today, but I'll read to you a little bit from it. V'yatza choter migaza Yishai, v'netzer mishar shav Yifreh, V'nachala ruach Hashem, ruach achma uvina, ruach etz gvura, ruach das v'yiras Hashem. So the Melech HaMashiach is going to be a descendant of David HaMelech. He's going to be someone who is full of chachma, bina, etza, gvura, das, yiras Hashem. He's going to be a tzaddik. V'aricho b'yiras Hashem. V'lolim arei nav yishpot, v'lolim ishmoz nav yochiach, v'shafat b'tzedek dalim, v'ochiach b'mishor le'anve aretz, v'ika'eretz b'shevet piv, v'ruach tzfasav, Yamis Rasha. So though he's going to be very powerful, he's not going to be powerful due to his physical strength, but Vika Eretz B'Shevet Piv. In other words, his strength, his authority is going to come from his Chachma, from his Tzidkus, from his Yerushamayim. The Rambam, deriving from here and other sources, adds a number of conditions. So the top left are the psukim that I was reading. In terms of the Chil Hashem issues, one place where you see that is the pasuk in Yechezkel that you have over there. So the Rambam, top left, V'im ya'amod melech mibeis David, hoge b'torah, va'osek b'mitzvos k'david aviv, k'fitor shebechsav v'sheba'al peh, v'yochof kol Yisrael leilech ba'ol chazek badka, v'yilcham milchamos Hashem, harei zeh b'chezkas Mashiach. So the Rambam over here tells us that there are two steps to ascertaining who the Melech HaMashiach is. If he does A, B, and C, we'll define what A, B, and C are in a moment, but if he does A, B, and C, so then he is B'chezkas Mashiach. And then if he does D, E, and F, and we'll see what that is in a moment, so then he's Vadei Mashiach. Chezkas Mashiach and Vadei Mashiach, these are terms that we're very familiar with in Halacha. A chazaka is a presumption. In Halacha, we frequently rely on presumptions. But presumptions can be wrong. And therefore, the Rambam says there are different steps. So let's read what he says carefully. Vim yamod melach mi beis David hoge b'torah v'osek b'mitzvos k'david aviv. So to be b'cheskas HaMashiach, first of all, it's a descendant of David HaMelech, like we saw in the Pesukim in Yeshayahu. He is someone who is a Talmud Chacham, Hoga B'Torah V'Osek B'Mitzvos, he's a Tzaddik, following in the footsteps of David. V'yochof Kol Yisrael Leilech Ba U'Lechazek Badka, so he's someone who is not just a Tzaddik, but he inspires people, brings them closer to Torah. V'ilachem milchamos Hashem, and he fights the wars of Hashem. So then, if he does those things, he is b'cheskas Mashiach. Im asa v'itzliach v'nitzeach kol ha'umos shesivivav. If he does all that and is victorious upon all the nations that are surrounding him, meaning to say the enemies of the Jewish people, uvana beis Uvana Mikdash b'makomo v'kibetz nidche Yisrael. So then, harei zeh Mashiach bevadai. If he is victorious, he builds the base Hamikdash. He brings back the Jewish people from Galus. So then, he is bevadai Mashiach. V'imlo itzliach adko o nerag biyadua she'eno zeh shevticha alav Torah. And if the person who is Bechezkas Mashiach, someone who we presume to be Mashiach, does not do all this, or he's killed, so then you'll know that he is not the Mashiach, he's not the one that the Torah is referring to. David, so he's a great tzaddik, he's a great melech, like the other descendants of David who died, but he's not the Mashiach. Hashem was maimed him in order to test us, meaning to say he made a person who we correctly presumed was Mashiach to test us. Shenemar umin amaskilim yikashelu litzrof. Bahenu levarer ulalabein ad eis kates ki od lemoed. So this pasuk tells us, it's a pasuk from Daniel, that there are going to be times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will establish a person where we will presume that they're the Mashiach. In the end, they won't be the Mashiach. And Hashem did that to test us, but ultimately it's not the right time. There's still time for the Kates to come. Now, the Rambam writes, actually in the previous halacha, that Rabbi Akiva's presumption that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach is an example of such a phenomenon. Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Mechachmei Mishnahaya, V'hu Ayanose Kelav Shel Ben Koziva HaMelech, V'hu Ayomer Alav Shu Melech HaMashiach. In other words, when Rabbi Akiva said about Bar Kokhba that he was the Melech HaMashiach, he was saying he's Bechezkas Mashiach. And one could have argued this wasn't clear, but at least Rabbi Akiva felt that he had fulfilled the criteria necessary to be Chazkas Mashiach. He was Lochem Milchamos Hashem. He was at least initially a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham and someone who brought the Jewish people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'dimahu v'chol chachmei hadoro shumelach HaMashiach. Wasn't just Rabbi Akiva, it was kol chachmei hador. Ad shenerag be'avonos. Kevin shenerag. No, Dalahem She'enu HaMashiach. Yes?
I counted six things for Cheskas Mashiach. How does
well, if you depends how you count. But yeah, you could count it as six. I mean, let's read it again together. So, Yamod Melech Mibeis David. So if you want to count that as one. Hoge B'Torah, two. Osek B'Mitzvos K'David Aviv, three. Again, you could sort of, it doesn't really matter exactly how you count that. Yachov Kol Yisrael Leilech Ba, Ulechazek Bedka, 4. Yilachim Milchamos Hashem, 5. I mean, you could break those up for however you wish, but it's pretty. These criteria are pretty straightforward.
Yes, to be about that first.
So that's the sounds like the simple reading of the Rambam does sound that way. Now, it's somewhat ambiguous, I suppose. One thing that we're going to talk about in just a moment is the Rambam tells us that the unfolding of the Messianic era is something for which we don't have a Masorah about, we don't know. Among other things, that's why you'll see that there's debates in Chazal about how things are going to unfold, because we don't have an exact Masorah. There's certain things that we do know, and those, among other things, are presented in the Rambam, but there are many things that we don't know. And moreover, Chazal tell us that it's not just ignorance, but it's also indetermination, in the sense that the Mashiach and the Messianic era can unfold in various different ways, depending on whether or not we're deserving, depending on whether it takes place before the Kates or at the Kates. And again, hopefully we'll return to those questions shortly. Yes?
Well, I know I've heard like a lot on this one word in the Rambam, but I'm just wondering, why is there the Nerag and not Mace? Meaning, why does it say specifically killed and not just the person dies?
Right, it's a good question. And I can speculate, but I don't think we can know for sure. It might be that was the case with Bar Kokhba. In other words, that's what happened. But the Rambam, regardless, says in the first half of that sentence, "Vim lo hitzliach ad ko," meaning to say, if you were mace, then you weren't hitzliach ad ko. So I'm not sure how important, in the end of the day, that diuk is. But it's definitely a hara. And again, I have some thoughts on the matter. So I'd like to, maybe at the end, if there's time, I'll return to that. But I'd like to try to get a more broad overview of this sugya today, because we only have one class to talk about it. But it's definitely a ha'ara worth thinking of, and maybe if there's time, I'll share my thoughts on it at the end. Yes?
The next line, he says, I already called Machabe Zeva Shreem Shemesu. So I don't know if that's...
Well, he does say Shemesu. It doesn't say Shenergo. And that's what I said, because the first part of the sentence is Vim Lo Hitzliach Ad Ko, which is basically, I think it's pretty clear from the Rambam that if he does those things but doesn't finish, so then he's not the Mashiach. The Rambam does talk about various false Mashiachs and their important role in ultimately bringing the world, preparing the world for Geula. He talks about Yeshu and Mohammed in the next halacha, which is an interesting idea, but I think we'll skip that because I'd like to talk about some of the more general points. There's actually a very interesting comment that he writes in his Igeres Teiman, where he's writing to the Jewish people living in Teiman. There was a false Mashiach at that time, and the Rambam tells them that he is a false Mashiach, and he says something interesting. V'achas harayos shehu am ha'aretz. How do I know? One of the reasons, he says, there are many ways in which we know he's a false Messiah, but one of them is because he's an am ha'aretz, Siva lefazer adam kol mimono. This false Messiah apparently told the people to give all their money to tzedakah. So one of the conditions, as we said, of the Melech Mashiach is he's someone intelligent who follows Torah and the like, and that's against the halacha and a foolish thing to say. So clearly he's not the Mashiach. Now, if you noticed, the Rambam in describing what the Melech Mashiach will do and who he is and the like did not mention that the Melech Mashiach will perform miracles. And that is another theme that he emphasizes in the Igeres Teiman and in other sources, that he may perform miracles, but he may not perform miracles. It's not one of the preconditions. And the whole Messianic era can unfold in a natural way, or in a supernatural way. One of the proofs that the Rambam brings that it is not the case that it has to unfold in a supernatural way is that Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba was the Melech HaMashiach, and while he experienced certainly a lot of Siyata Deshmaya initially in his battling the Romans, it wasn't supernatural, or at least overtly supernatural. And likewise, the Melech HaMashiach need not perform overt miracles for us to know that he is the Melech HaMashiach. Rather, if he fulfills those conditions to be Chazkas Mashiach and then Bevadeh Mashiach, so then we will know he is the Mashiach. I'd like to maybe turn to the Makoros at the bottom left of the second page and talk about what the Messianic era will look like. And here there are a couple of ways in which we find in Chazal that there are differing perspectives, and also, I suppose, for that matter, different possibilities of how things might turn out. The Pasuk at the end of Zechariah, which is a very cryptic work that discusses the Yemos HaMashiach, describes a great eulogy, a great funeral that will take place. The bottom left... you know what? It's probably... Where are we? Yeah, bottom left of page... left column of... Middle left column on page 2. Bayom ahu Yigdal HaMispeid B'Yushalayim K'Mispeid HaDrimon B'Vigas Megidon V'Safta HaAretz Mishpachos Mishpachos Levad. Agav, that's one of the places that we learn the need for having Nechitzos Mishpachas Beis David Levad Unashem Levad Mishpachas Beis Nasan Levad Unashem Levad, separate seating at this great Hesped. So the Gemara in Sukkah asks, what is this Hesped all about? So that's the next source. Hesped Amaya Vidite. Pligi ba Rabbi Dosa v'Rabbanan. Chad Amar al Mashiach ben Yosef Shenerag. If we have a chance, we'll talk about who the Mashiach ben Yosef is and what role he plays in the Messianic era. But for now, we'll skip that. V'chad Amar al Yetzer Hara Shenerag. So at least according to one view over here, it sounds like there will be no Yetzer Hara in the Messianic era, which might imply that there's no free will, or certainly that our freedom will be significantly different, in that we will no longer have the desire to do that which is bad. It's also worthwhile noting that the death of the Yetzer Hara is something for which we will mourn, presumably because we will have lost out on the opportunity to fight our Yetzer Hara and to vanquish, to defeat, to do that which is right and good, even when faced with the challenge and desire to do that which is wrong. Which actually brings us back to the point we were discussing a little bit earlier. What happens if a person doesn't want Mashiach because they want to keep on fighting their Yetzer Hara? So that, in a sense, highlights the significance of how important desiring Yemos Mashiach is, that even though in a certain sense there's a downside, still it's something that we must long for. If we look at the Gemara, the Pasuk in Koheles, the next source, Schores Borecha B'yemei B'chalusecha Ad Asher Lo Yavau Yemei Hara'a V'yigiu Shanim Asher Tomar Ein Li V'hem Chefetz. So, on a simple level, this pasuk is talking about how you have to be an Oved Hashem when you're young, because when you're an older person, you're not going to have the same type of desires and passions and Yitzrei Hara that you had in your youth. Yomim Asher Ein Li Bam Chefetz. However, we will see that there's a view in Chazal that understand this pasuk is talking about Yemos HaMashiach. Yamim Shein Lam Bal Chefetz is referring to the Messianic era when we'll have no Yetzer Hara any longer, where we won't desire to do that which is bad. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos, which is on the top right of the next page. Should be, at least. I'm so confused about how these pages work. Would have been better if I... Yeah, there we are. It would have been better if I put page numbers, right? So there we are. It's the fourth page? Yeah, there we are. Fourth page. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Asay ad sh'ata motzei umatzui lecha v'odcha biyadecha. So make sure to do mitzvos, to give tzedakah, while you still have a chance. Vash Shlomo Amar b'chachma so. V'zachares b'orecha b'yimei b'charusecha ad asher tav shalo yavau yimei hara'ah. Eilu yimei hazikna v'igiu shanim asher tomar ein li bam chefetz eilu yimos ha-mashiach. So the first part of that pasuk in Koheles is talking about old age, but the second half of that pasuk is talking about yimos ha-mashiach. Shein bam lo zchus v'lo yechoiva, that in the yimos ha-mashiach we won't have a zchus or a chova, presumably because we won't have a Yetzer Hara. We won't have a desire to do Averos anymore, and therefore there won't be reward for doing mitzvos. That's the view of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Pliga de Shmuel, Damar Shmuel ein bein olam hazel imos ha-mashiach, el ashibud malchios bilvad, shenemar ki lo yachdal evyon mikarev haaretz. So Shmuel disagrees. there's no difference between Yemos HaMashiach and Olam HaZeh, except for Shibud Malchios, which means we won't be persecuted. However, they will still be days in which it seems that there's going to be a Yetzer Hara. And also, not only that, but even poverty will persist, meaning to say that there'll be the opportunity to give tzedakah even b'yamos HaMashiach. And he quotes a pasuk, the pasuk from Sefer Dvarim, ki lo yachdal avyon mikarev haaretz, there'll always be poverty upon the land. That's why we're instructed to give tzedakah. And according to Shmuel, that will be true even during the Messianic era. So we have a dispute in Chazal, here in the Gemara and Shabbos. We'll see it's a dispute in a number of places, other places as well. It relates to the need for weapons and the like. And we have a dispute in Chazal, l'chora, with two nafkaminas. Number one is with respect to tzedakah. Number two is with respect to Yetzer Hara, in terms of whether or not the change in the Messianic era will primarily be political. No, presumably it's more than just political, but on a fundamental level, there'll still be those that need tzedakah, and there'll still be a Yetzer Hara. So the Ramban discusses this, and he discusses this concerning the pasuk we saw earlier, Umal Hashem Elokecha es Levavcha. So the Ramban writes, what does that mean? Umal Hashem Elokecha es Levavcha. That Hashem will, sounds like, change your nature. He will circumcise your heart. Li'avas Hashem Elokecha. Ki mizman abriya, ayirishus ha'adam la'asos kirtzono tzadik o rasha. V'chol zman ha'torah kein. Ramban here is alluding to what Chazal tell us, which is that there are three stages of the world. There's the zman habriya, the zman of Torah, and the zman of Yemos HaMashiach. So, from the time of creation, it was in our ability to decide whether or not we want to be a tzaddik or rasha, and that nature continued throughout the tekufa of the Torah. Kedeshia lam schus bechirasam betov onesh birtzosam bara, so that we could be rewarded for our decision to do good and punished for our decision not to do good. Reward and punishment only make sense in an environment of freedom. And therefore, in order for God to reward us, he created a situation where we're free. Aval Yemos HaMashiach tia bechira betov lahem leteva. In the Messianic era, the decision to do good, the bechira for tov, will be natural. Lo yisave lahem halev lemashe eno roi, velo yachpot spo klal. We will not desire that which is unfitting, unworthy for us. Nowadays, we all know that we desire that which is bad for us, that which is unhealthy for us, physically, spiritually. V'yamilan is kereskan. That's what's meant over here in the Pesukim when it says, Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha. Ki achemda ve'ataiva arla lalev umul halev hu shelo yachmod v'lo yisave v'yashuv ha'adam bizmanahu la'asher hayakodem chet o shel adam arishon. So here he says something very interesting. Because the question is, does the Ramban think that there's going to be no Bechir at all in the Messianic era? So first he sounds that way. It's not that clear, because he's comparing us to the nature of our existence, Kodem the Chet. And if we look back at the Ramban in Bereishis Perek Beis, he uses almost identical language to describe Adam Arishon Kodem Achet, that in that world, we naturally only desired that which is healthy. The idea that we desire Davar Vipucho, we desire that which is bad for us is a consequence of our current state of affairs. It's not something that was part of the original creation. So the Ramban here says we're going to go back to the nature that we had kodem achet. Now, if that's true, well, presumably there was some level of bechir at that point, because Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava, chose to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. So maybe there will still be bechira b'mos HaMashiach. It'll be like the bechira that we had beforehand. Does that mean that we could mess up again, though, and go back to that? Not so clear, because here, on the one hand, he's contrasting the Messianic era with the nature of our existence from the time of creation until this point. Maybe if we have a chance, we'll talk about that question. Whether the Ramban thinks there's no Bechira at all, or just an altered Bechira whereby we desire that which is naturally we desire that which is good, but theoretically we could still choose to do that which is wrong. Certainly there's going to be a major shift. And the Ramban writes that because that's the case, it's going to be Yamim She'en Libam Chayfetz. It's going to be a time where there's Lo Zchus V'lo Chova. A time where, at least for the most part, there's not going to be reward and punishment, because naturally we'll seek to do that which is right. Shayosa betivo masheroi latzos veloya bertzoso davar vipucho kemosha pirashti beseder bereshis. Now, again, now is not the time. It is something we discussed actually at the beginning of the year. What was the nature of Adam's bechira, such that on the one hand he was in a world of emes v'sheker, not tov v'ra, but still could desire to do that which is wrong. At the beginning of the year, we talked about that in the Kants within the Mahalach L'Rambam. Ramban there has a similar but somewhat different Mahalach. But that is the nature of the existence b'yamos HaMashiach. Now, the Ramban does note that this is a debate in Chazal, and he notes that in a number of places. But the Ramban thinks that the opinion that we accept is the opinion that we will not have Bechira, or at least we won't have normal Bechira on B'Yamos HaMashiach. The Rambam, though, vehemently disagrees with the Ramban. The Rambam thinks that we accept the view of Shmuel, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Yamos HaMashiach Al Hashibud Malchios Bilvad, and that means a number of things. Number one is that the physical natural order will not change, meaning to say that we will, even though there are many prophecies that seem to describe the physical world changing, v'gar, ze'ev, and keves, those should not be understood literally, according to the Rambam. They are metaphorical. They refer to the idea that nations that were always enemies, just like the wolf is the enemy of the lamb, will live harmoniously and peacefully together. In other words, there'll be world peace, universal recognition of God, and the like. So that's the meaning of these prophecies. But the physical world will not change. The Rambam writes the physical world won't change in a fundamental way. The Rambam writes that the world will not be destroyed. He notes that there is a view in Chazal that the world will be destroyed. He thinks that's a minority view. It's not a view that's accepted. And though the Rashba says you don't even find a machlokas about that, the Rambam writes, yeah, it's true. You don't find a machlokas. Well, he doesn't say don't try. He says there is a machlokas because it's against numerous psukim, like the psukim in Koheles that tell us that the world will continue not in its natural course forever. So one manifestation of the Rambam's position is that the natural order of the world will continue even in a messianic era, regardless of whether there will be miracles during the unfolding of the Yamos HaMashiach, meaning to say when the Melech HaMashiach comes, those will be temporary miracles. The Rambam says there were temporary miracles at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there may or they may not be temporary miracles at the time of Yemos HaMashiach. But what there won't be is a change of the natural order, meaning to say nature will continue as is. Now, parenthetically, there's a very interesting thing that the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, on the one hand, nature will not change, meaning to say things will go on, there won't be a change in the natural order. But at the same time, the Rambam says people will live a very long life and people will be prosperous. There'll be plenty of food to go around. And that's true, even though most people will spend most of their day learning Torah. So you could ask, how could the Rambam say that? How could it be that people will live very long lives and people will have time to learn in Kolo all day long without the natural world order changing? So at the time that the Rambam wrote that, a person could have wondered that that's a contradiction. But now we know that that's not true. It's very easily accomplished. There's more than with advances in technology in terms of longevity, in terms of productivity. It's certainly very possible for everyone to spend most of their day learning, and there will be still plenty of food and plenty to go around without actually a change in the natural order. So that's one application of the Rambam's position. Another application is the Rambam says that the nature of Bechira will continue. In other words, we'll continue to have the ability to do right and wrong. Now, we might not struggle with the same nisyonos as we do nowadays, meaning to say, in a world in which everybody recognizes God, how could you choose to do evil? So that's not a kasha. I think I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hope, and eschata'ai ani maskir. I can't say I'm perfect. So just because it will be a world of umala haaretz deyas Hashem kemaim liyam mechasim doesn't mean that everybody will be free of sin. There will be bechira. The choices that we struggle with might not be the choices that we struggle with nowadays. The clarity will be such that certain things that people struggle with nowadays, they won't struggle with. Maybe there will be no atheists and no agnostics and the like. Doesn't mean that there will be no bechira. No. No, it's
so that's not like he's
no. It means it'll be easier to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It will be something that's more natural and the like. There'll be a major shift, a major change, but it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to mean, that there will be no Bechira, as the Ramban sounds like he's saying. Now, this raises a very fundamental question, which is, what is the purpose of Yemos HaMashiach? Why does it exist? For the Rambam, it's not really akasha, because once we understand that there's a purpose for any existence, we can understand why there's a purpose for existence b'Yemos HaMashiach. The question, though, is more troublesome within the world of the Ramban. What is the purpose, what is the value of Yemos HaMashiach? Especially if we understand the Ramban as indicating that there will be no Bechira. So what's the point? Now, the Ramchal addresses this question. The Ramchal writes that the purpose of the Messianic era is to prepare the world for Olam Haba. The individual needs preparation for Olam Haba, and that takes place with the deterioration of the body. It takes place with the Yisurin experienced in the Olam HaNeshamos in Gehenim. And the world is prepared for Yemos HaMashiach, for Olam Haba, in, among other things, the Messianic era. The Ramban, though, and here's where I want to be mosif for what's in the Sefer, the Ramban gives a different answer to this question. It's a tricky answer, and I guess let's read his words together. But it is a challenging question for the Ramban. And we'll read what he says in the Sefer Ge'ula, which is on page 4, right column. Vida yazrach alokim, ki im naskim bilibenu, shepshainu vavanos avosenu avdu mimenu, kol hanechamos v'shiyarech v'yasmid aleinu hagalos me'ein keitz v'sof. Kol zeh lo yazik b'karato. Ki anachnu ein tachlis gemuleinu yemos ha-mashiach ve'achol peros ha-aretz ha-hi. The Ramban writes that the primary place of reward, well, where we will be rewarded for mitzvos, is not in the Messianic era. After all, first of all, not everybody will even experience the Messianic era. Yemos ha-mashiach, as we said, I'm sorry, Tchias ha-mesim takes place at the end of the Messianic era. Now, the Ramban alludes to, and a number of Rishonim do say there'll be two Tchias ha-mesim, one at the beginning of Yemos ha-mashiach, for tzaddikim. That's why you have all these references to Moshe and Aaron being around to, you know, to ask the Shilas about what to do exactly, and one for everybody at the end of Yemos ha-mashiach. But regardless, though the Messianic era will be a very wonderful time, it's not the primary place of Gemul. Rather, that's Olam Haba. So, if that's true, in other words, if the place of Gemul is not Yemos ha-mashiach, so that's not the purpose of the Messianic era. V'hisrachetz b'chamei Tveria v'kiyote b'hen mitanugim gam lo ha-korbanos v'avodas beis ha-mikdash tachlis ritzoneinu. Okay? It'll be nice to go in the Chamei Tveria. We could even do that nowadays. And bringing korbanos is something that we are very excited about, but that's not the ultimate end either. Rak gmulenu umabatenu ha'olam haba. So where is the place of reward? What do we really look forward to in terms of gmul? That is olam haba. Vatainu ga nefesh betainu ga nikra gan eden. The tainu ga nefesh, meaning to say the spiritual delight that exists nowadays when a person dies, not the ultimate gmul, is called gan eden. V'hinatzel me anosh gan hagehenim. Aval anachnu imzos machzikim davar geula mipnei shehi emes. So why are we so into Yemos ha-mashiach? Why are we machzik it? And you have to especially remember the context of this Sefer Geula. So first of all, because it's true. In other words, why do we say, like, why are we into Mashiach? Because it's true. It's going to happen. It's emes meforsam etzel bali ator v'nevua. V'anachnu mi'idin, or mi'irim, ba yeshenei atzaros. So first of all, v'chomsim piapikorsim b'rayoseha. In other words, we believe it's true, and it is true, like the Yisurim that we experience now, certainly will all be gone, Yemos ha-mashiach, and the heretics who deny Mashiach or claim Mashiach already came, we certainly reject their positions. V'rayoseha, umishtash bidvareha. There are many people that said it already came. There are religions that are premised on the assumption that it already came. And that's part of the context of this Sefer Geula being written. Mipnei she'anachnu mitzapim la mitikvasenu shenasig min hakirva el ha'alokim biyosenu b'mikdasho im kohanav v'neviyav. So first of all, the Messianic era will be a time of intense closeness to God. And that's something that we long for. And that's true even if we don't have Bechira, or certainly not the same type of Bechira. In other words, Yemos ha-mashiach will be a time of intense kirva al ha-alokim ba'olam hazeh. It is true that the kirva al ha-alokim in olam haba will be greater than Yemos ha-mashiach, but still, the kirva al ha-alokim that will exist in the Yemos ha-mashiach is much greater than it is now. Like we said, it'll be a world in which we're focused on Torah and mitzvos. We'll have karbanos, we'll have neviim. V'im ma'sheyia banu mina tahara v'akedusha. So we will achieve levels of tahara and kedusha at that time. V'yosenu ba'aretz ha'nevcheres v'shchinaso shor v'etzleinu. We will live in Eretz Yisrael, and there'll be ashras ha'shchina. Yoser mima she'anachnu yicholim la'sig hayom b'galos. Much more than we could experience nowadays in the galus. V'ma shanachnu ba'u min atuma v'ashikutz ki az b'imei ha-Mashiach yivatal yetzer hara lehasigenu ha-emes kasher hu. There'll be no yetzer hara. We will understand the truth. Ol inyan acher asher sodo amok mima shamarti. There's also another inyan that will be b'imos ha-Mashiach that's much deeper than what I just told you, but I'm not going to tell it to you. V'zeh ikr ta'avaseinu v'achsafaseinu el yemei ha-Mashiach. So why is it that we want Melech ha-Mashiach? Why is it that we want Mashiach so much? Answer is, first of all, it will be an end to persecution. It will be a time of intense closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it will be a time where there will be some other secret that will also take place. Maybe if we have time, we could talk about what that secret is. Not yet. Im ma shemosif aleinu taiva v'chosef limos haheim inyan haTorah shemevaeres lanu ki bi'osenu chot im na'amod begalus li'aser osanu uve'avodenu karau yashuv alokim leitiv lanu kemo sheitiv avosenu bi'oser. V'amnam nafshenu ha-mis'aveh mis'oreres gam kein li'yamim ha'em v'haros le'bali dina anshe adalsos ha'zaos will show the world the truth. Everybody will recognize the truth, something that they don't recognize now. V'zeh teva ha'adam l'hisgaber al anshe machlakoso. That's also going to be exciting. L'haros ki ames ito v'nichlal lanu b'ritzon hazeh shoresh mitzvah gedola ki anachnu chafetzim b'kidrosh Hashem le'enei ha'amim. And like we said before, it's a time of kiddush Hashem le'enei ha'amim. V'amnam chashvu chachamenu zal hakofer b'reishis hagmul hazeh ritzoni lomar yimos ha-Mashiach kofer v'en l'chei l'gulam haba mipnei shelo hiviu l'zeh rak kfiraso b'schar toraseinu. However, the Ramban here says something very interesting as well. He says, what is so bad about being kofer b'mos ha-Mashiach? In other words, why is it that someone is kofer b'mos ha-Mashiach en l'chei l'kolam haba? That's because, ultimately, a kofer b'mos ha-Mashiach is a kofer b'Torah. Like we saw at the beginning, it's explicit in the Torah. V'hu meshuga cholek al aksuvim ha-mevu'arim v'apikoris b'divrei raboseinu zal. So, the Ramban, interestingly, has to struggle to answer this question. Meaning to say, the more you see Yemos HaMashiach as a time where there is no Bechira, the harder it is to understand what its purpose is. If the purpose was Gemul, then I understand. There's no Bechira in Olam Haba either. But once you say it's not Gemul, and you also say there's not Bechira, then it's somewhat challenging to figure out what its purpose is. And there are a number of answers. One component is, like we said, to prepare the world for Olam Haba. Another component, and purify ourselves, purify the world. Another component is perhaps there is some level of Bechira, even according to the Ramban, something akin to the Bechira Kodem HaChet. We won't mess up again. You know, been there, done that. But the idea that there will be some level of Bechira that might still be true, though it's certainly not like today. It's a time of Yediyas Hashem, a time of Kirvala Hashem, and the like. Yes?
So, do we assume that the Kirva of Hashem is part of what gets rid of the Bechira? Or is it they just happen to be two separate things that are happening simultaneously?
It's a good question. And I don't know if the Ramban answers that question. You could really look at it both ways, but perhaps the Ramban, I believe, implies that it's reciprocal and they're both true simultaneously. And it's because of our lack of averos that we will be able to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a lack of the mal Hashem es levavcha that allows us to do what's right. The Rambam stresses that b'yamos HaMashiach, we will continue to do mitzvos, and the Torah is eternal. That too is one of the Ikari Amuna. The Rambam writes that we will bring karbanos, b'yamos HaMashiach, and the like. And as I said, that's an Ikar Emuna, as you see in some of the final sources. There is a debate in the Gemara about mitzvos betelos lasid lavo. So it sounds like there's a view in Chazal that says that there won't be mitzvos b'yamos HaMashiach. However, most Rishonim learn that the opinion that says mitzvos betelos lasid lavo is referring not to b'yamos HaMashiach, but Olam Haba. And you see that from the Psukim that are cited over there for that view, which refer to the Trias HaMesim. So that in the Iker Messianic era, again, there may be some sources that at the end of the Messianic era, as we come closer to Olam Haba, perhaps the nature of Torah will change, but at least the Iker part of Yemos HaMashiach, there will be Torah and mitzvos, karbanos, will be restored. That's something that we daven for each and every day. And ultimately, that's something that that we long for. And we fundamentally long for it. However you understand the nature of Yemos HaMashiach, everybody agrees, like the Rambam puts it, Lo Nisavu, we're not longing for Mashiach because we're looking for the good life, you know, big house, and fancy cars or whatever it's going to be. Rather, it's really, more than anything else, it's our spiritual state that we long for, a time where we can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a time that we can study Torah and perform mitzvos without disturbance, a time where we can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we can't do nowadays, a time where the Chil Hashem that exists within the world will come to an end, and all the world and all of humanity will come to recognize and serve and appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we daven and we long that we see that day very, very soon. So this is it for our shiur. I want to thank you all for a tremendous year of learning, and I hope that we can, everyone continues to learn Machshava. I hope that the shiur was something that helped you, if you didn't already have that Yetzer Hara, Chas V'Shalom, to learn Machshava, that it's something that that you continue to do. And I also hope that I continue to get to know you, and I'm always happy to discuss these matters further. So everyone should have Hatzlach on their finals, Hatzlach on the Bechina, and Yashar Koach. Yes?
So theoretically, people who are on laptops could copy and paste Makoros into the notes.
Yes.
Is that included with the notes that we bring?
Yeah, Makoros is fine.
Also then bringing out Makoros sheet for
yourself. You can bring Makoros sheet.
Digital Makoros.